Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is October 25th, 2018.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of the shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, call Pastor Dan's cell phone at 316-619-4886.
Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note,
let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like...
Go ahead.
Dublin, Dubia, United Arab Emirates.
Emirates.
Amos, Russia Federation, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, Colombo, Sri Lanka, Athens, Greece.
You missed that Athens, one all the Greece. Time. I'm going to butt in here. Folks, I really am not intentionally looking for places that will make her not be able to pronunciate.
They should have put an I in, not an E in.
That's Sri Lanka. That's okay. Arab Emirates. That's Russian Federation, Colombo, Sri Lanka.
That must not be a biblical name because I don't have that problem with biblical
and
names.
Athens, Greece. Yeah,
anyway.
I know that. But what about the United States?
And, of course, the good old USA, such as Houston, Texas, Washington, D.C., Kansas City, Missouri, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to the radio programs within a podcast later tonight.
Okay. Also, follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin. At Branch 77, Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Now prayer, and we'll get to our program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray, Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will, not our will, Father. We don't know how to do anything. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, welcome back. As you folks know, my wife, Linda, if you just first time you tuned in, my wife, I'm Pastor Dan, and this is my wife, Linda. Say hello, Linda.
Shalom.
Okay, yeah, and a lot of people don't know, because I always say at the end of the program, you know, shalom is a greeting, which means in his perfect peace, which you can say as a coming in or going out. So it's either a greeting or a disagreeing. And I know you know that, but I'm saying it for the people. Anyway, I want to point out, folks, tonight that go over to our webpage, prophecyhour.com, and look, I have a new thing up because Joel Richardson at joelstrumpet.com just released a video teaching that is dynamite, and it's the location of the real Mount Sinai. I haven't got to see it yet, but I'm told it was on the way to me, and he will be on in November, but we're talking about also another book that he is publishing. Anyway, so tonight we're going to talk about several different things. You know, a lot of it centers around the election and all the demonic things that are going on, but The first thing that I want to talk about is the so-called pipe bomb. And I couldn't think of a more sarcastic human being right at this moment to ask to come on and talk to us a little bit about it, but Frank. He always has great insight. Frank, what do you think about all them wonderful pipe bombs? Do you think, what do you think?
Well, I've been going on about it since the first time I had an opportunity to my show. after I read it, the minute I saw it, okay, the second I saw it, whoa, 8 pipe bombs, and then they listed the people, and then, it's like you start reading, and it's like, okay, so none of them actually got to any of the people. None of them actually went off, and then you read on a little more, and, now there's bomb experts looking at them going, I don't think these were built to go off, And it's like, okay, so, I started thinking right away, good golly, because I don't live in a bubble. I realize,
really?
Okay, it's October. I'd like to live in a bubble, but I don't. and it's October, and we're all, it's like, geez, it's almost the end of October. So we're all looking and going, okay, where's the October surprise, right?
Right.
Well, hello, welcome to the October surprise. Here it is. Because this is just a ploy to victimize the poor Democrats again. We're victimized. It's those mean, bad Republicans. And then they turn out and they go, oh, it's Donald Trump's causing all this. Wait, Maxine Waters is saying Donald Trump should take responsibility for the violence? This isn't violence. Okay, this is for one thing. Now, if the bombs all blew up and killed them all, okay, that would be violence. Sending somebody something isn't violence, it's terrorism, all right? There's a difference between violence and terrorism.
Okay? I agree.
Terrorism is just making someone terrified. That's not committing violence against them. Violence is blowing them up or shooting them or something like that. And Donald Trump has never called for even a mob to go chase people out of restaurants or out of, shopping anywhere or hunt them down and don't let them go anywhere. Don't let them feel any rest, any peace, any. That wasn't him who said those things. It was Maxine Waters. And now she's saying that Donald Trump should take responsibility for the violence that didn't occur. Okay, great. So she's marching around now saying that she's so brave and she ain't scared and this and that. Well, of course she ain't scared. She knows it's a scam. She probably said it's probably her team that sent him out. And then you got Hillary Clinton. Now, big news just a few days ago, right? Hillary Clinton comes out and says, the time for civility is over with these people, and there's no way we can be civil with these people. And you know what? There's going to be collateral damage for those who don't agree with us if we don't win it. This and that and the other thing, right?
Right.
Just a couple of days ago, there's going to be collateral damage if you don't agree with us? Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, and, okay. And, there's no more civility with these people. Forget it until we're in power. That's the time when civility will come back, when we are back in power. Now today.
Wow.
Now today. Because, you see, the Democrats figured out that was a big mistake. People didn't respond well to that. Even Democrats didn't respond well to that. So what do we do about that? Well, we make poor Hillary a victim again. Send her a pipe bomb. Send her a pipe bomb. And now she gets out there, and today she's playing her role real good, saying, we need to bring America back together again. We need to be more unity-based, and we need to put our differences aside. And, oh, come on. How phony is this? I mean, I'm insulted, okay, more than anything.
Right.
Because you know what? If you're going to lie to me, at least put a little effort into it, would you?
I'm sorry. You're right, Frank. Go ahead.
Oh, that's it. That's my little dot.
Rant over.
Rant over. Well, I just think
they've been watching too many Netflix movies and trying to copycat Hollywood over there.
They are.
Well, that's who they got working for.
Well, but okay, copycat the series movie stars that really know how to pull it off. They can't even pull it off.
And you know what? You make a great point, Linda, because the thing is, if you look at the Democratic Party, any candidate, any faction of the party, and you go to their communications directors, you go to the people making their ads, you go to those people, and they are exactly who you just mentioned. They are exactly. Hollyweird producers and directors and content producers. These are the people that live in fantasy world dreaming up stories to show on TV, and they're working on these people's campaigns and their ads and their marketing and all that stuff. That's who Democrats hire. This is why Hollyweird donates so much money to the Democratic Party. So when we look on, when we look at what they're doing,
I said that is because I'm watching a series right now that does exactly that kind of stuff. Well, with all the top government agencies and stuff.
Well, anyway, let me throw this in. You know, you hit a real point about Hollywood or Harley Weird. I don't even want to give them – I think weird isn't the word's best word for them because I kind of like the word weird. I use it sometimes on people. I don't want to give them the word weird. Let's go with this, Holly garbage. Anyway, but here's the point. You know – Obama, you know, and his wonderful wife, or
Michelle,
whatever she is, work for Netflix, and you can start to see it. They ruined one of the best horror movies. Have you ever seen Frank? There's a horror movie called it's about in the hood. It's like a creepy show. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen the Creepy Show or whatever?
Creep Show.
But it's one about
the Creep Show. Yeah,
there was a movie called Creep Show.
Yeah. Well, right, Creep Show. But then they had made another one along the same lines of short stories, and it was Tales from the Hood. You know, it was about the same kind of situation, but it was all, you know, based around being in the hood, you know, the ghetto. And it was a pretty, you know, weird show. There we go. But now I glanced at Netflix and I was looking for a movie to watch. And I thought, oh, cool. They did Tales of the Hood. That's what it is. Tales of the Hood Part 2. Yeah. And then I read the thing. You know what it was listing? It was listing talking about it says this has everything in it, social justice and all these different things. Well, yeah, I guess that social justice is pretty scary, but you could tell that Obama had something to do with it. What do you think about those things?
Absolutely. You know, I like Netflix, and I still do because, you know, I only watch the things I like.
Right.
But honestly, I'm considering just dropping my Netflix subscription because of hiring the Obamas, because they will eventually ruin Netflix. Like,
yep.
They eventually ruin everything, okay? And
yep.
That's what they'll do. And, you know, he didn't go there for no reason, okay? They
right.
didn't go there for the money or anything like that, because they got plenty of all that. But they went there to have an in with the content providers, because that's
right.
what the Democratic Party needs. They need content, okay? They've got to get a narrative going that will work for them, and they haven't been able to do it yet. And they're never going to be able to do it with those people, because these people are not, they're not tethered to reality, okay? They live in a fantasy world, and that's just fine when you're coming up with fictional stories to show on TV, and great, I don't care what kind of lunatic artist you are and, you know, how detached from reality you are. You can be that way and enjoy your life. You know, I might even enjoy your movies. But when you
yeah.
start putting that to real life and start trying to propagandize people and manipulate
mm-hmm.
them with lies the way they've been doing, and it's so blatant, because it's like, come on, man. I mean, this isn't even believable.
Right. You know,
like a TV show.
Hey, I started to watch the series, and I'm not going to name it, but a series on Netflix. And I really enjoyed the series, and, you know, there's not even any nudity or anything like that in it, but the point being about it, at the very first of it, when they introduced the character, even though he's supposed to be a Marine, that'll give some people a hint, at the first of it, they spent about 5 minutes trying to make out like this guy was a liberal, which totally doesn't fit his character. You could cut that part out, and you would never think that he was a liberal. But they portray him right at the first just like a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's garbage. You can see all the way through it. Well, Frank, we're going to talk about some other stuff.
All
maybe
right.
If you want to, you can hang on because we're getting ready to talk about that caravan, man, the invasion. So let's do this first, Mom. Let's go down here. Okay. Let me find this article. Well, I guess. Anyway, I thought I had something up here from Caravan. Okay, I guess.
It was Barry Ranch the first.
Was it? Okay.
I thought it was.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, here we go. This is from Yahoo, and I want you to read this, and this is a real good talking point we can all talk about. Go ahead.
Louis Gohmert, a Republican for Texas, suggested that President Donald Trump might have to declare martial law along the southern border of the United States to prevent a large group of Central American refugees and migrants from entering the country. This has got to be so massive. I mean, you might have to declare martial law along the border, Gohmert said. And the Democrats have been too stupid to realize that encouraging this caravan, they may actually empower the president to do things that he never wanted. When Sarnes asked Gohmert what martial law would look like, the congressman responded that it would mean federal troops coming in and being at the border, and if anyone tried to stop them, they could be dealt with. You would probably need federal law enforcement to be there to arrest any Americans who might try to stop it, he elaborated. The military needs to have their weapons pointed towards Mexico and not toward the American people.
Okay, I'll pipe in here first, and we'll get Frank's comments, too. First off, you know, they at the very first of this, they did see some money going into it, and it was from Soros and some other Democratic places. But I don't think that they thought it through good enough because it's going against them and not for them with the Democrats. And I think that's why they came up with the pipe bomb thing, was to distract away from the caravan and so on and so forth. But I just saw some breaking news right before we came on. I'm going to see if I can find it. Here it is. It says, as a migrant caravan from Honduras closes in on the Mexican Guatemala. No, it's past that. But anyway, two Boeing 727 planes yesterday were headed there with to stop them. Now, but full of Mexicans, to stop those immigrants. But I don't think it'll do any good. What do you think about all that, Frank? You think the caravans are good, bad, for who? Go ahead.
Are you serious?
Okay, says two Boeing 727 planes carrying Mexico's federal police.
Yes, that's what I said it was. But anyway,
they said they had about 400 Mexican federales there, but they didn't stop them. Okay,
they
stood there and they and then when the caravan just decided to ignore them and keep walking, the Mexicans didn't do anything. They let them go
by. But, okay, here's my real quick point before break. I seen Mexican police being bloodied, that had their faces beat up and everything, and they did throw tear gas. And these people in the caravan were waving flags from another country under, I'm not going to say normal circumstances, but wouldn't circumstances 20 years ago just automatically call this an invasion? What do you think?
Well, circumstances 1 year ago or 6 months ago would have, Mexico wouldn't have allowed it. Because, the thing to understand, too, is that this caravan is violating Mexican law. Okay?
Right.
They're violating Mexican law by being in Mexico. Mexico has immigration laws stricter than ours, and these people are allowed to just march on through. And this is the Mexican government's problem, and Trump really needs to start stomping on them. You know, I mean, look, at the last resort, okay, the last resort is putting American troops on the border and saying, look, one more step and we start mowing you all down. And if they take that one more step, start mowing them down. But
Amen.
The thing is, that is the last resort. Trump should be standing on that Mexican president right now on his neck saying, listen, you know what? They are violating your law, okay? And you, by ignoring that, are putting the United States of America in peril. And we're not going to stand for that. So either you stop them or no more foreign aid, no more. You can kiss that NAFTA trade we made with you goodbye. No more trade, no more money. And, by the way, we'll put a 50% surcharge on all remittances leaving the United States to go to Mexico. And
right.
We're still going to mow these people down if they come to the border.
Okay, I got a question for you real quick. They just had an election in Mexico. They're fixing to change the guard, so to speak, I think right at the end of the year. Do you think possibly that the old administration is just not doing anything because of a new one coming in, which is supposed to be pro, I don't like to call it that, but immigrant?
Could be. I mean, that could be. I mean, you know, you could, because we see that all the time in American politics. Okay, so
right.
I don't know if they're similar. I assume they probably are. And, yeah, I could see that as, okay, fine, you know, you won the election, but I'm going to sabotage you as much as I can before you take power. You know, that could be it. I don't know.
Well, and it could also go the other way.
Yeah,
the other guy could be saying, hey, okay, well, I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm being complicit in allowing your policies to work or whatever, you know what I mean? Because the other guy's supposed to be real pro-immigration.
Well, and you know, the thing about it
which
is
which means they'll just let them walk through.
Well, right. The thing we need to look at both of these things, because the bombs and the caravan are tied together with one thing. And that's
sure.
The fact that, look, none of these things happen without planning, okay? None of these things happen without planning. And, you know, you don't just get, you know, 14,000 people together one day, they wake up and say, hey, I got an idea, let's all go to America. Yeah, fine. You know, look, they got to march 1,500 miles. Anybody out there have any idea? Linda, you do. How much would it take? How much would it take? Okay, forget, you know, hey, this weekend, you're not going on the mission, okay, Linda? You're going to go down to Mexico, and instead of feeding the homeless in Wichita, you're going to feed 14,000 caravan people and give them food and water. What kind of an operation or organization? How much money would that cost, you know?
Quite a lot.
Okay, good point. I've got some really good numbers about some things that we'll do after break. But, you know, you got to remind this guy when he gets on the radio, because he never wants to stop for a break, but he forgets there's this producer that will just can us if we don't break for a radio program. So,
well, you could go $3 per person and get a
pretty close number. You're as bad as he is. Frank, tell them where they can find your program and we'll go to break.
Same place. They can find yours right where they're listening now, American Voice Radio Network.
And it's called the Frank Report.
Yeah,
that's
my
show. You got to tell them the name of it. I mean, God, do I have to teach you how to do radio? What kind of deal is this? Let's go to break.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin and Linda Catlin, my wife, with me. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We're having a great discussion about pipe bombs. I guess it's a great discussion. Pipe bombs, an invasion of this caravan, and just a bunch of things. We also asked Frank Stephan of the Frank Report to come on and talk with us. You know, we've been having a three-way conversation. That's pretty interesting. We're going to get back to that, and then towards the end of the program, about 10 till, we're going to do some talk about Thanksgiving and the church and things. So right now we're going to get back into our conversation. So you're still with us, Frank, right?
Yep.
Okay. Listen to this real quick. I'll do this one. This is really great. Okay. More than half of the nation's immigrants, I don't like to call them illegals. Anyway, receive some kind of government welfare. More than half. That figure is far higher than the native-born population. So there's more, we'll call them immigrants, even though illegals even are on welfare. 51%, I'll just read what the article says. 51% of immigrant-led households receive at least some kind of welfare benefit, including Medicaid, food stamps, school lunches, housing assistance, compared to just 30% of native-led households, according to a report for the Center for Immigration Studies. The numbers increase for households with children, with 76% of immigrant-led households receiving welfare, compared to 52% of native born. Now, so, you know, these things about them coming across, these people that are invading us right now, coming across the border and making America stronger because they're going to pay taxes, and that they, because they do jobs and all that, is just a load of garbage, because over half of them are on welfare, and the refugees, they all get houses, and if they require, get refugee status, they get houses, they get, about $2,500 a month minimum.
They don't
and
pay
a lot
taxes.
But no, I'm talking about their house. Let me finish what I'm saying first. Anyway, they get free housing, they get food stamps, they get a supplemental, check for each individual in their household. They make $5,000-$7,000 a month doing nothing, plus food stamps, plus free health care, plus a free house, and located to the state of their choice. Now, this invasion force is coming in for that. Now, so you guys were talking stats before, and what do you think about that? Go ahead. Either one of you.
I think it's crazy. They should have to be deported and come here legally, just obey the laws. They say, we're not criminals, but okay, so what are you when you break the law?
Yeah.
Aren't you a criminal? They break the law by coming here without coming here legally, so that makes them criminals. They're criminals. They need to go back and come here legally.
Well, if they're coming here to be part of America, great, and be be part of America, why are they waving? Okay, look, and Franco, what's your comment on this? They're waving Honduran flags right now, and supposedly their country of Honduras is supposed to be so oppressive, and they're having such a terrible time. And I do look at their clothing, and somebody pointed out the $500 baby stroller this woman was using and all this stuff. If they come from such an oppressed place that it's so terrible that they have to leave, why are they waving a Honduran flag? And when they get here, that they hate America, they're not here.
Then why are they coming here?
I don't know. What do you think, Frank?
Well, they're coming here for the free stuff, and they're coming here to, you know, to push their agenda, you know, and they're coming here because they're being paid to come here. Okay, that's
right.
The bottom line that people need to, you know, and I keep harping on this, and I keep bringing it back to Jeff Sessions. Can somebody wake that creep up? I mean, come on,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, why are they not going after George Soros and everybody else who is paying for this? Those semi-trucks driving them up here is not free. All the food and water is not free. None of this is free. These people didn't just wake up and decide to come to America. They got paid. The organizers that did it got paid. How come Jeff Sessions is not finding out, okay, where's the money coming from? Okay, we're going to go arrest that guy because you know what? What they're doing is illegal, all right?
Yeah, it's an invasion.
And what Soros is doing within the United States is sedition and perhaps treason. And the thing is,
he's
paying for all of it. And the thing is, look, if I go out and hire a hitman and say, look, I want you to off Hillary Clinton, and he goes over where Hillary is and gets caught, doesn't even kill her, right? And he gets caught. And they start questioning him, and he goes, well, I only did it because, you know, Frank hired me. Hey, guess who's arrested next? Yeah, Frank.
Franklin.
That's right.
Your name has to be George.
Yeah, that's right. Okay,
I agree.
All right.
Hey, just say your name's Soros, man.
Hey, I identify.
Just tell him you're
George.
A Democrat. If you tell him you're a Democrat, you're safe. But let's go with this real quickly. Of course, that I agree with the sedition and all those things. I do believe that's why this election is one of the – this is just as important as the other election we have, even more so, because they'll reverse all those things if we don't keep the Republicans, whether you like them or not, in the in the building. Let's go with this. I believe, and I can be wrong, but I really think that Sessions will be shown the door after the midterm elections so that these things can come about. That is the problem. Everything that we have mentioned so far could have is in a normal circumstance. If you actually look at the law, there is a law against it, and the people could be arrested. But what is lacking is the main law enforcement officer in the country is doing nothing, and that's Jeff Sessions. And no matter how much Trump wails on him, he's in the funny position where it looked bad for him if he fired him and it caused an explosion. So he's going to wait till after midterms. I pray that he does it then. But if we have a real attorney general, and I could name you several people that he ought to put in this place, Giuliani for one, that would change everything, would it not, Frank?
Yeah, well, it would certainly start changing everything, you know, but I don't know. I agree with you that I think Trump has had to wait to get rid of Sessions after the election because, you know, I mean, look at all the distractions and trouble we have already. I mean, you add that right to it, it would be almost insurmountable to deal with. But, and I'm hoping that's the thing, because Sessions has been completely worthless in his job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real disgrace how he's been about this whole thing. And it's like, look, okay, fine, I get it. You don't want to deal with Hillary Clinton? Well, I mean, she's got a warehouse of dead bodies behind her. Maybe he's scared of her. I get it. Okay, fine. Recuse yourself. Wonderful. But what about all the other crimes going on? What about George Soros? You scared of him too, Jeff? You know, I mean, come on. Somewhere along the line, the attorney general has to stand up and say, okay, look, you know, we're going to crack down on the law breaking, and especially treason and sedition. We're not going to allow that. And he's not.
Well,
he's not doing a darn thing.
Look at what they've already caught him, and the election is only a week away. I hate to see what's coming next week, but look at what they've already caught him. There was over 600 and some votes tallied in Illinois where there was only 270-some people registered to vote. Okay, then in Massachusetts, there was over 3,000 driver's license issued to 3,000 dead people. What were they issued to them for? So they could vote. So they've already been getting caught. So who's to say this? They're like quadruple trying because they did it in the election and Trump still beat them.
You're right.
If they hadn't cheated and had all those illegal votes, Trump would have landslid in, home run, you name it.
Well, I believe he did landslide in on the legal votes. If you tallied the legal votes, it was a landslide. And, you know, we even had Democrats admitting and openly campaigning for, and it started before the last election, campaigning for illegals, including Obamatone, to vote. And since then, we have found that out, and they're trying to do it again. So, you know, the illegal vote, and that's what all these people that are marching up
is coming to vote.
That's what they want them for, is for voters. But, you know, it really, look, they went so far with a pipe bomb, and I believe that's not going to wash and work. And I don't believe the caravan's going to work, or we don't know what will happen at the border. But, you know, they could. What,
we might get washed
what
out.
Else are they going to do before the election to try to distract us? Is my thing. What do you think? You think they're over with? You think they're done yet, Frank?
No. Well, they're. I'll tell you what. If the Democrats lose the midterms, and I think they're going to.
I do too.
I think they're going to too.
Go ahead.
You know, and I might be having a little too much faith in the American people, but I think the Democrats have gone too far. I think they've just pushed this to the point where people actually, even Democrats, are realizing, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. It's so obvious. You know, and I get it. Look, if you don't like Trump, you don't like Trump. That's fine with me. I mean, but you know, I didn't like Obama. But I didn't start, you know, throwing a hissy fit and throwing on a mask and, you know, clubbing people in the street because I didn't like Obama, you know. And
right.
that's what the Democrats are doing. And there's a lot of Democrats that are, you know, somewhat normal people. I mean, they have, you know, different, okay, we think the poor should get more money. We think maybe we should even have open borders and things like that. But they're not lunatics. okay? That is a small part of the Democrat Party that has been taken over. And it's not shouldn't be surprising to anybody who has any kind of view of history, because this has happened throughout history, and we don't even have to go very back in history. We can look here. I mean, if we want to look at political parties, yeah, we got to go to other countries a little far back, you know, the 30s, the 40s, and stuff like that. But if we want to look at infiltration and what's happened to the Democratic Party, we can actually look at the American Labor Union. We can look at the American Environmentalist movement. We can look at all that and see they have all been infiltrated by communists, just like the Democratic Party. And the reason why is because this is what communists do. It's their plan. They wrote it down. If anybody would bother to read it, they'd see, hey, wow, they're just following the plan. They're not coming up with any ideas. They're just following the plan. Okay? And that's
right.
By what's his name? The lunatic that Hillary loves, Rules for Radicals.
Saul Alinsky. We did that about 2 weeks ago, Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky.
That guy, okay, he wrote that book. And he should be charged with plagiarism, because all he did was take all the writings from 1913 through 1918 from the communists in Russia, and he just reworded it all. That's all he did, and because it's exactly what it is. But nobody knows, because nobody reads that stuff, right? Oh, but they know about Saul Alinsky, and they think this is a new idea. It's not a new idea. It is the worldwide communist revolution, and it has been since 1913, and they're just following the same plan.
Right.
And it's what happens. And that's what happened in the Democratic Party, and there's a lot of Democrats out in the cold right now wondering, well, what am I going to do?
Right.
I can't vote Republican because I'm just against what they want to do, but I'm also against what my own party wants to do. So where are you at? What are you going to do?
They're probably going to, hoping they're going to stay home, but you know what? I do believe that is the true history of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party was pro-slavery. They also started the Ku Klux Klan and a whole bunch of other things. They have stood more in the way of diversity than any other group, but they have hoodwinked the American people to create in the Democratic Party. And so while there's some good people in it, it's always been underfed to destroy what we already have. Well, anyway, Frank, I'm going to let you go because we're going to talk about the church and stuff, but thanks for being on with us, and we'll talk. I'll bring you in again, too, whenever I need sarcasm, for sure.
Thanks.
Say goodbye to Frank.
Bye, Frank.
Bye.
Okay. Anyway, folks, now we're talking about a lot of things here, so let's get some really important things. This I got off of Alex Jones, but it's true. Fact check says it is. So read this.
Mo. San Francisco's housing crisis is a homelessness crisis. A homelessness crisis begat public
defecation.
I know I'm going to get it out. Defecation crisis, and San Francisco has a serious public defecation crisis. The city spends $65 million a year cleaning up the streets. A figure that is so high because of the quantities of feces, urine, and dirty needles that find their way onto the San Francisco streets. And despite the 65 million, San Francisco streets are very, very dirty.
Okay. Now, they have the biggest house, the East Coast or West Coast. Remember, we were talking about how corrupt they were last week. We were talking about, Dimitri Dudeman's vision said, you know, they pointed to California and said, this is Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, one day it'll burn. But my point is this. This is a place run by a liberal. The people that are being drawn to it, though, see, added into these people here, there is a whole bunch of there's two things that's causing this. An overabundance of other workers, which is the illegals coming in, because anytime you have illegal workers, you know, which companies like, I don't know if you understand this, but companies like illegal workers because they can pay them less. You know, they pay them a lot less. And so not as many people can get jobs. And it also keeps wages down. You know, if you can pay somebody $5 an hour, I'm not going to give somebody that's legal a raise for $15 an hour so they can rent a house. I might go ahead and hire the legal person, but I'm going to keep him at the same wage that I can pay this other guy. So as an absolute fact, illegals bring wages down. And they also cut the system. Now, California is so far in debt, it's just pitiful. But they're spending 65, just San Francisco, $65 million to clean up poop on the streets. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
And their city looks like a third world country. Okay, now let's go on. I'll talk some more about it. Let's skip up to Seattle, Washington.
As the urging of local public health officials, council member Teresa Masquata is proposing that the city of Seattle spend $3 million to open up a mass shelter tent with 75 to 100 temporary beds for people living on the street. Announced as part of the Seattle Council, City Council's ongoing budget deliberations, the request only includes the capital cost of setting up the tent and not the operating cost. City officials estimate it would cost an additional $2 million to run, likely bringing the total up to around $5 million for the year. Get that $5 million a year to house 100 people. If you spend $3 million to house 100 people, that means that you would have to spend $30 million to house 1,000 people. And so what is going to happen when these cities have tens of thousands of people sleeping in the streets during the next economic downturn?
Okay, let's go with this. Again, that seemed like a lot of money to you?
Yeah, a lot. That's a lot, yeah. It's not even a home, it's a tent.
A tent to house people, and it's to house them and pay for all the operating costs. It's going to cost $5 million a year. Now, for 100 people, let that sink in a minute. You know what kind of a budget that what could you do with $5 million if you had it? You could probably operate a shelter for 1,000 people in Wichita.
Oh, probably.
At $5 million a year, probably.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I could easily house 100 people for way less than $1 million for a year. By simply buying a building, putting in some bunk beds, and getting volunteers, not overpaid employees, to come in and watch them at night or whatever.
Don't even have to have volunteers. You make it a recommendation that if they get a bed, then they work a couple hours to maintain.
Right, but you always have to have a non for authority purposes. Always have to have a non homeless non. Person getting shelter to be in authority.
And that's who you get volunteers.
Because here's the problem with that. And I totally agree with it. If you put a homeless person as an authority person, then that mars him if he goes to the street.
Because they all want special privileges.
Right. Or they'll pick on him or beat him, you know, or something. So you cannot have, so you do have to have.
We know that from experience.
Right. So you have to have somebody outside of being homeless or outside of being one of the poor that are being taken care of that has no connection like that. So, you know, and I know from volunteers that we've had over the years that have helped in the kitchen or whatever have gotten picked on simply because they were helping and they wanted special treatment. But forget about that for a minute. Well, the big point is I'm saying look at all this money. And also Seattle is another place. Washington, that is another place, is immigrant, you know, sanctuary or whatever. And so this is crazy. This is craziness for money. This is craziness. And it all comes again from that Democrat thinking. Now, this I want to say to you folks. Listen, I believe that if you folks have listened to me over the years, you know that I got on board with Donald Trump from almost dead set the very first when he started running. It took me a minute to grasp it, but he is what I always believed. I kept telling the father and just in talking with people over and over saying, the only way that this can possibly fix is a man that can stand up and not owe anything to anybody and doesn't care about the next election, so to speak, would be able to stand up and do that. I'm not saying I'm being prophetic or anything like that, but I do believe Trump was put in here by the father. I absolutely do, to give us a chance and to change things around. But I also strongly believe that while it's an opportunity given to us all that prayed and that love America, that it was an, it's an opportunity for us that, okay, number one, it exposed all the evil. We wouldn't have seen all these evil. We wouldn't have seen the investigation. We wouldn't have seen their true colors had it not been for President Trump being put in. Just for that's enough what I'm thankful for. But he's did so many other things. But that will all be reversed. But we have a chance, and that chance resides on you. Because it's just like faith. Faith's an action word. It says, okay, I open a door for you, but you've got to get up and walk through it. In order for us to walk through that door, we've got to get out and vote. And I know a lot of people don't like to vote or don't think the vote's right or whatever, but you folks, I'm telling you, you need to vote. If you like any of the changes that you see or what's coming, fine. If you don't like what Trump's doing, do you really like what you're seeing? You want those people in charge? So if you don't vote, that's what's going to happen. Now, on a better note, Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving, and that's our busiest day at the Wichita Mission Church. And you know what? You got some ladies to volunteer, but we still need some cash, don't we?
Yes, we do. I'm still in need of things for Thanksgiving. I'm still in need for funding for the bills. I'm still in need of 65 stamps to get the last newsletter out so we can start the next newsletter. And so on and so on and so on.
Well, right. Okay. Well, going through that. So, because people, I've been doing this a little longer than you. People want more specifics. Number one, folks, we do need those 65 stamps or the money donated specifically in Save 4 stamps so that we can get these mail out newsletters out so we can do another one before Thanksgiving, because it's really imperative this time of year that if we don't bring attention to some people, we won't get donations. We are just, what we're helping all these people that we're talking about, we help homeless and poor, and the housing costs, like in California, people are out of houses because they work, but they can't afford to put a roof over their head, or they do work and they can't afford to put food in their stomach or clothes on their back. We help with those things. We need over-the-counter medications. We don't have any of them with people coughing and things in there. We need blankets. No blankets have came in. So we're really down in King James Version Bibles. We can't keep Bibles in there. We're out of Bibles again.
We need all the serving stuff for Thanksgiving, all the plates, all the cups. Well, we do have cups. We had some donated. We have about 50 cups donated. So, but we'll probably need more because we'll probably feed about 75 both days is what we've been doing in the past. So sometimes we go over that, but
the last couple of years it's been around 75.
So far I have a promise of five turkeys and I have five turkeys. Well, I have a promise of six turkeys and I have five turkeys. So I have 11, but I'm shooting for 20. So, and I have the potatoes, the carrots and the onions, but I need all, and I do have a promise for pies and a cake. So, but I do need all the other stuff that goes with Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay. Real quick, in the past, this year I expect a bigger turnout. Prior to the last couple of years, we've hit even over about 125 that one time. We've hit really high. I'm not saying that we will or won't, but here's the point. People count on this. We treat them like family. They come in and it's a big day of the year for them. So we need your help. It takes just the night before, we talked about last week, we need $500 just to do the last minute grocery shopping. Now listen, folks, you can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order. If you're going to mail it, get it in the mail now. You can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Now listen, my cell phone, 316-619, you can text me and we can talk about it. We can set it up to call you, because I'm not answering my cell phone very much because I keep getting too many. I get five, stupid calls in a row, meaning ads. Trying to
automated calls from surveys.
Yeah, exactly. Five in a row. So I haven't even hardly been answering myself. But if you send me a text and I know who you, then we can establish something. So I'll call you back. Just let me know that you're wanting to talk, and you're not an automated person. Okay, so pray about it. We also need donations for radio airtime. If it's for airtime, make sure that you mark on it airtime. Otherwise, if you just send a donation, that's cool too. We'll put it to the greatest need, and we still have the greatest needs are here all the time. Okay, you got about a half a minute. You want to say anything to them?
Well, I did, but I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, well, how about telling them goodbye or tune back in or something?
Well, oh, we could use blankets. I know I've had people asking for blankets, and we no longer get blankets. So anybody's got any extra blankets lying around and you live in Wichita, bring them by the Mission Church because people are asking for them every day.
Okay, say goodbye, Linda. Say goodbye, Linda.
Goodbye, Linda. Goodbye, people. He said say goodbye, Linda.
Okay, just we're out of here. Folks, you must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember what, Mother?
Be a blessing to others.
Wow.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and because praying for the peace of Jerusalem is like praying for Messiah's return.
Amen, but it wasn't marked in that. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch. We'll